Today on the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, Jimmy gets a boo-boo and Tyler flies off a scooter. Welcome one and all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading, wrenching on Toyotas, and making fun of Toyotas, hanging out in Toyotas, and, you know, hearing about how awesome our, you know, that blinker install, blinker move over to the marker lights is, then this is the podcast for you. So tonight, this lovely evening, am your host, Tyler, and sitting here across from me on the other side of the table in the studio here is the one and only Jimmy Jet.
Woo.
Woo, woo. And the crowd goes wild.
Hey.
How are you doing today, Jimmy?
I'm tired.
I am too.
You wore me out.
I wore you out. I wore myself out. It got to a point today where I almost just quit and said, screw it, I'm done.
Yeah, but then you would have not been, you would have like, hey, I'm done.
I would have
stolen. By the way, can I borrow Charlotte or Clifford or Lloyd?
I would have stolen some of the keys and taken off.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh man. So yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later about kind of what we did today and why we are exhausted.
We're probably still dirty.
I'm gonna say, you want to show the camera what's going on with your elbow here?
He got a boo boo.
He got a boo boo. So
it's all Tyler's fault.
It is my fault. I told him to. I told him to help me knock a bolt out of the steering box, and he used a punch and then got the punch stuck in the bolt area there. And when he tried to pull it out, he slammed his elbow into my suspension bolt.
Yeah.
Cut it open pretty good. So,
and for you guys in podcast land, I have a Band-Aid over the boo-boo, so you don't really see anything.
Yeah, you don't really. There's a little bit of blood on there.
Is there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
We got some seepage coming through the bandage.
I think that's dirt and grease from everything else here. Yeah.
So very cool. We had a fun day. So we finally got around to installing my Hydro Assist on my 4Runner. So
finally.
It works beautifully. We took it for a test drive and went sightseeing a little bit.
Yep.
But I think we got it all dialed in. I'm going to take it in and get it aligned. Just to finally get everything, make sure it's all set and tightened up.
Straighten your steering wheel out a little.
Straighten my steering wheel because we put the steering wheel on a little 90 degrees off. So it's a perfect 90 degrees off. It's kind of...
Well, and the benefit of your Grant steering wheel is that you can just undo the 5 Allen wrench heads on there and rotate the steering wheel and not have to change anything else.
Yeah.
So
I'll have to see. I think if I just rotate it, all the Allen heads should line up, so it'll be straight.
It'll be pretty dang close.
Okay, good. Because if it ends up a little off tilt like that, then I'm just going to turn it back to 90 degrees and go with a straight line up and down.
Bobcat's wheel isn't straight. It's off. It might even be 180 degrees
off. I wonder how 100 is. It's upside down.
Might be.
I wonder how many wheelers out there actually have straight steering wheels.
That would be a fun poll.
Yeah,
we'll
have to do a poll on the social media.
Yeah.
So watch for that in the next coming days. New couch time. Yeah. the brand of the Hydro Assist was a Trail Gear, the Rock Assault Assist kit. So I got the Rock Assault kit. I think it's a 6-8 inch. RAM, 8-inch RAM, I think.
At least 8-inch, yeah.
It's, 8 to 10 inches, a pretty hefty one.
That's
nice. But it came with all the lines, the hydraulic lines, everything was good to go. I ended up, instead of tapping my box myself, and we would have had to have rebuilt the box as well, I just bought a tapped box as well with the RAM assist. And now we have an extra Toyota IFS box. In order to do a rebuild video now.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So we'll get to completely tear apart a Toyota IFS box and show you guys how all the parts kind of intermingle and work together with the sector shaft and all the little the little bearings inside.
And then talk about where to drill the holes into your power steering box so we can have a tapped box laying around.
Yep. So that'll turn into my trail spare. It'll be nice to have that. I can fill up some of the space in my tool drawers because I still haven't filled those things all the way up.
You're going to put a whole power steering box in.
I've got the space for it. Why not? I just got to redo my rear suspension. You might as well have a trailer
and you got like a whole spare truck you towed along.
I know. It'll be great. I'll be able to rebuild the 4Runner on the trail.
Almost completely.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a couple of complications. Not really complications. It was just tricky figuring out how to stuff everything and route everything through it. So we did not, by the way, kill the previous podcast. Who is that? Mark. I think you killed it, Mark. No, I'm just kidding.
So maybe we should mention about what's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, that's good, because I don't think we mentioned it yet. We are, for those in podcast land, we are doing a live feed through YouTube right now. So we're doing a live stream of the podcast. So there's people kind of making snide comments on the sides that catch our eye every once in a while. So if we kind of end up getting distracted with the shiny things and shiny objects on the side of the screen and people yelling at us and saying funny things, I apologize in advance.
I'm going to stick to the script.
So Jimmy will stick to the script. I'm really bad at it because I have ADD. So I will inevitably go off and start arguing with people in the chat. So,
but this is also something we're considering trying. We threw a few videos up there on YouTube and they've done okay. The audience retention rate, which how long people are watching them, is actually quite low. So, you know, we thought maybe doing the live stream where people can pop in and out and watch it at their leisure and check it out, you know, and this is something we considered trying. So,
yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Feel free to let questions come in as we see them. We may answer them. Depends on how into the topic we get. But today's topic is going to be a lot of fun. We've actually had a lot of requests for today's topic. So we wanted to do a little bit of research and really figure out the nitty-gritty details for you guys. So today's topic will be awesome. Those of you on the live stream, either hang out and watch it for a while or you can catch the podcast tomorrow morning. So so other than that, other than today's Hydro Assist grind 10-hour install,
That was, you know, and part of the problem with that is that, you know, I didn't have the 1 5/16 socket for for the pitman, you know, to pull the pitman arm off. And then the pitman, we couldn't get the puller in because your leaf springs, you know, just laid it out. So we had to pull the power stream box off with the pitman arm and then take it off outside of the vehicle. And, you know, there's just a lot of little things that made it for a long day.
Yeah. And then bleeding your power steering, it takes a really long time. So
yes,
it just takes a long. It took us almost an hour to get the power steering system almost fully bled. So
a lot of turning, lock to lock, turning it back and forth.
Yeah, my shoulder got a nice workout. I should, you know, stretch it out later.
That's what happens when you have a fiance. You don't work your shoulder out.
I know. I get a massage later. It'll be great. So yeah, what else have you been up to since the last time we recorded? Because we recorded a few in a row because I had to leave the state for like 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
So what were you doing while I was gone? Because I didn't talk to you very much.
No. I did a few small little projects around the family and did a lot of video editing and then did some yard work.
Oh yeah.
And now what I need to do is laundry.
Laundry. Yeah, laundry gets done like once a month or so.
Not soon enough.
Well, you can wear your underwear 4 times. You know that, right?
Yeah,
4 days.
Forward, front, and back, and then reverse or inside out and front and back. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you can wear your underwear 4 days in a row, everybody. Just
don't ever
go
camping with Tyler.
If it's 5 days, I don't know what to do because I only bring one pair. So that's cool. So you kept yourself busy.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, we've been planning a lot of really cool stuff, getting ready for the podcast launch and kind of creating some new things for everybody. So we'll get into that. Do you want to get into it now
Let's
or later?
Do it. Yeah.
So we officially have, again, like I said, a lot of ideas we want to get into, but we realized that we can't really do a lot of those ideas because they cost money, and podcasting and YouTubing just doesn't really pay a whole lot.
Doesn't pay at all.
So we have Jimmy has a huge trip planned, which I'm not going to tell you guys what it is, but it'll be really, really cool if we can make it happen. I'm going to help a lot with the logistics. I just don't know if I'll be able to get the time off of work to go with him. I'm really going to try though.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool trip. And we've been talking and working connections with a lot of manufacturers out there,
mm-hmm.
To set up some cool stuff for all the
call today.
That's true. We had an awesome phone call today. So we have some really cool stuff on the back burner, for all of you guys out there, all the listeners, cause we really want to make everything that we do, the podcast, the YouTube channel, the different segments of the YouTube channel, we want it all to be awesome for you guys and mm-hmm. really feel like you guys are part of the Snail Trail 4x4 family. So, what we're going to be doing is we started a Patreon account, just like all podcasts and everybody out there does. But what's really cool about ours is we're really focusing on taking whatever income comes in from that and giving it back to you guys in some really cool ways. So, some of the things that we're going to be having on there are going to be like, you can get,
group buys.
Yep. So we're going to be setting up kind of group buys on random stuff like rock lights or light bars or, Toyota IFS hubs or, I don't know, random stuff. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start setting up group buys. We're going to set up a lot of manufacturers discounts that will only be available to our Patreon supporters.
Yep.
That'll be anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20% off, whatever the most we can work for you guys. But so far we already have a few manufacturers already like on board with that. So, we just got to roll it out. We're going to do a monthly giveaway.
Yep.
So that's going to be really cool. I'm really excited about this one, because we're going to start off with, a Morphlate, and then we're going to move to, really awesome items from there with kind of the goal of being able to do as big of items like a set of tires eventually.
Yeah.
Or winches.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we can build it that far, then it's going to be freaking awesome. It's going to be amazing. It'll be really cool for all you guys out there. But, you know, we need to be able to build it too. So, we have some high lofty goals for that. We're also setting up some, VIP access areas where, you guys can interact with us more right. on a daily basis,
yeah, directly
with us. You can ask us questions. We can talk about your rigs. Cause one thing we've noticed, we get a lot of emails about, asking people are asking, you know, I have done this to my rig so far. I want to take it to here. What's the best way to get from point A to point B with my vehicle? And we love helping people spend money with their own rigs. So yeah.
As long as we don't have to spend the money.
Exactly.
We'll be more than happy to tell you things yeah. to do to it.
So we're going to set up a couple of different direct channels to us, that we can, you know, stay engaged with you guys. You can stay engaged with us a lot easier, a lot quicker. It's going to be really cool. And then we have a couple other ideas too that I'm not going to get into yet because we haven't set those up yet. So, but so far everything's turning out pretty cool. I like the way it's rolling out.
Yeah.
So we have some.
It's live
pretty neat stuff.
It is live right now. So if anybody feels that they want to help contribute and support the channel and help us move forward, you know, you can jump over there, Patreon at Snail Trail 4x4.
Perfect. So yeah, Patreon, is it / Snail Trail 4x4?
Yeah, I believe so.
So patreon.com/ Snail Trail 4x4. Go check it out. Like I said, our first giveaway, if you sign up for the giveaway tier, is going to be Morphlate, and we'll be doing that at the end of June. So whoever is signed up on June 30th.
I don't know the logistics.
Whatever the date is. We got to figure out the date, but it'll be the end of June there. And we'll announce the winner for the giveaway on the first podcast episode of July.
Yeah.
So, we'll announce that, we'll pull it, but we'll announce it on social media as well. But on the podcast, it'll be the first episode of July. So that's gonna be really cool. Morphlate, if you haven't checked them out, go look at, whoops, I'm hitting all the microphones here. go check it out at myoffroadradio.com. And it's one of the first, buttons on the banner there. So check out the Morphlate. Yeah.
Since we're on this topic, I think we should also say a big thank you to our 16 iTunes reviews.
We have 16 already?
We have 16.
Holy crap, you guys are awesome. I think last time I looked at it, we had 4 or 5, and I was already thinking that was pretty cool, because it's hard to get people to put reviews on iTunes. So having 16 already, and we're...
It was awesome.
Five, this is our fifth episode?
I think they're all 5 stars, too, if I recall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everybody loves us.
I know. I can't believe it.
Now we're going to get a couple 1 stars.
Hey, as long as... If you give us a 1 star, and you give us feedback, and and tell us why you're doing 1 star, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take criticism.
Well, we know what Mark will say. Mark can go onto iTunes and tell us that we're getting a 1 star because we don't talk about Land Cruisers enough, so...
Yeah. Mark, who was it? Fiddler did ask if you mounted a cooler, and I believe he was asking about a power steering cooler.
Oh, a power steering cooler or a fridge? I'm going to assume you're talking about a power steering cooler. I did not. I already had a little mini coil going in front of my radiator for the power steering, so it's already kind of there.
Did you add that?
No, it was already there when I bought the rig. Okay. I don't know if it's stock.
I don't think it's stock. No.
Because I have two radiators, essentially. Right. So I have my main radiator, which is a 3-core aluminum radiator. And then it plumbs into another one that's in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one looks more like what you would expect a typical power steering cooling to look like.
It's a little sleek, slim radiator.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's all plumbed together. So I'm running a dual radiator setup, which, cool. But I think it's blocking my airflow to the main radiator. So I want to look into taking that out at some point. But
got it.
It's working fine the way it is now. I did not mount a cooler, but while we're on that topic of mounting a fridge, I don't know if we... Did we read the email in the last episode about one of the guys was saying we should do a demo with the aluminum brazing rods?
Yeah, you talked about that.
We did talk about it in the last episode.
And on your drawer rollout where we should test to one side, we should have somebody aluminum weld it, and the other side, we should aluminum brazing rods and then mount the cooler and see how they hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay, cool. So I just wanted to make sure I'm not going crazy. So I got the aluminum brazing rods. I have the fridge tray to put on top of my toolbox. So that's going to be the next project, is getting that set up and kind of running a demonstration for you guys on how those aluminum brazing rods work, if they really work well, if they hold up to the same as doing a TIG welding on an aluminum. So we will play around with it and report back once we find out what we find out. So
nice.
Yeah. What else you got going on? Looks like you... What about your holy cowballs?
So I, much like today... I had a whole day of working on a 5th-gen 4Runner.
Those 4Runners, man, they require a lot of work, I guess.
I installed 5 skid plates.
5 skid plates on
a
5th-gen?
Well, 6 technically, but 5 components.
Okay.
In a way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you say this, but I installed an engine skid plate.
Okay.
A transmission skid plate.
Okay.
TK skid plate, a gas tank skid plate, and then lower link skid plates, one right, one left.
So that's six.
Six.
So six skid plates. You didn't do a rear diff skid plate or the
not yet.
Not yet. That'll
be also next. Brennan also has a KDSS skid plate that is one or two skid plates that you put on, and we didn't get to that.
One of these days, because he doesn't park his 4Runner outside of his house, huh? He parks it in the garage.
No, I think he does, but he's in a gated area.
I was going to go by one day and just remove his KDSS one night and see if he notices.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I was thinking we could go over there and we could just put a scratch in one of the skid plates and be like, how'd you do that?
When did you go to Rocks without
us? Did you go to the mall?
Found some really big curbs out there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It was like another 10, 12 hour day.
Well, yeah, and then you almost got a pink eye from...
Not actual pink eye, everybody. But I thought I got some metal shavings in my eye because I worked all day, and then I came into the house and one of my buddies was like, dude, what's up with your eye? And I was like, I don't know what. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't feel funny. And I looked in the mirror and it was like bright red bloodshot on one side. I'm like, man, I don't want to have to go to the hospital and get rust scraped out of my eye or metal pulled out. Uh-huh. Like, this isn't going to be fun. Like, yeah. I don't want to deal with that. And I was like, I'm going to bed. Which is probably the worst thing
defeated.
To do.
I'm going to bed.
But, yeah, the next day it was still a little red, but it definitely recited, and I never had it, never hurt, never caused me a problem. And I think maybe I just blew a blood vessel doing something. Huh. I don't know.
Concentrating too hard.
Yeah. Fatigue. I don't know.
Trying pop to, a blood vessel in your eye.
Some of those, you know, some of those bolts you got to torque on there tight.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
So that's, nice. Yeah, that was my holy cow balls. I spent a whole freaking day working on skid plates on a 4Runner.
Nice.
But it was fun and it was really neat to do. It's an RCI. They're really nice skid plates, well built. We did run into a small little snag where with those too, because the very first one that we were putting on, there was 6 bolt holes. And so 2 for like near the transmission, 2 underneath like the front diff area, and then 2 for the very front. And those 2 on the very front didn't match up to anything.
Oh,
at all. There was holes there, uh-huh. but they were like twice the size of the bolts that they supplied. Huh. And they were like, it was 2 across member, but the boat, there was a hole on top and on bottom and they weren't threaded.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, and they're like, put bolts here. And we're like, how? Like, what? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, and so where his, I don't know if his was just a different model because it's a 2014 trail edition,
uh-huh.
but his whole, like those bolts were offset, like
oh,
where his were. And so I was like, well, we got 2 options. We can go get a big bolt and stick it all the way up and put a bolt on the top and bolts on the bottom, like, you know, bit, like go through bolt it more or less.
Okay.
Or we can drill a hole through your brand new skid plates. And he's like, let's through bolt it. I'm like, okay, sounds good.
Okay.
So yeah, through with a, always keep your spare bolts, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
It's amazing how often we go through the spare bolts bin and pull out something to use.
Yeah. Well, bolts, washers, spacers, split washers, nuts, we use a lot of the spare parts kit, spare
all
hardware.
The time.
Yeah. So, huge shout out to Austin, Tejas, Texas.
Okay.
They have those electric scooters.
Oh, yeah.
And uh-huh. over there while I was visiting for the week. And I decided to go on some joyrides on the scooters.
Okay.
And it was late at night. And those things are so much fun. They're super dangerous, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they're in most, if you guys are listening and you live in a metropolitan area, you know exactly what these are. They're the scooters you can rent with an app and you scan the QR code and then it unlocks the scooter and you can go drive wherever you want. And it just charges you per mile and I think time on the scooter.
Oh, that's cool.
So we went around 6th Street and Rainy Street in Austin, which is Rainy Street's awesome if you get to go visit. So really cool food, awesome food, lots of food trucks.
Is that the one that's like the art area?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And 6th Street's the party street.
Yep. And 6th Street's the party street. So, got to play around there, while I was crossing the street on my scooter, though, at one point. I was going a good 10, 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I hit a massive, pothole.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the street, and it just stopped me dead, and I went flying over the handlebars.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I flew. I when I got up, I was a good 20 feet from my scooter.
Are you okay?
I popped right up because I don't feel pain right away.
Much like hot sauce.
Much like hot sauce. Apparently, I don't feel pain right away there, but it kicks my butt later. But I got road rash on my hands. So I've got some scabs here and here. This hand is all swollen. I sprained my wrist a little.
He had a hard time wrenching today because his hand was bruised.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard torquing things down when you're trying to push in the palm of your hand right here is where all your bruises are. So, and I got road rash all down my left side, like my hip and my left knee is all jacked up.
I was going to ask, did you mess up the clothes you were in or anything? Did you scratch them up?
Surprisingly not.
Really?
I hit and then I rolled a bunch of times. So I'm really good at kind of tuck and rolling.
Sure.
So I didn't like put holes or scrape up my clothes or anything. It was just like where I made that initial impact with the ground.
Right.
But, that was fun. Go Austin, Texas.
Austin's a great city.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun in Austin when I've been there.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I was a little curious going from California to Texas, but Austin's a pretty cool. I hear it's much like a little island within Texas.
Is. Yeah. I think one of my good friends said it best that Austin is like an illegitimate child if San Francisco had sex with Modesto.
That's a good way of putting it. I don't know if I'd go as far down and just put it down as low as Modesto, but
Fresno?
Maybe not. Maybe Fresno. Fresno's a little bit better than Modesto. They've had a little bit more time to get antiquated, I guess.
Stockton.
No, Stockton's terrible. I had fun on the scooters, got some road rash while I was there last week. It was a good time.
I was there for a bachelor party a few years ago.
Nice.
So you can only imagine.
You know what happens in Austin stays in Austin, maybe sometimes parties.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Nice. So what else you got going on? I know that you have plans to sell off Lloyd. Is that still in the works?
Yes. Lloyd is maybe in a week or so going to be on the market.
Ooh. What is Lloyd? Remind everybody, just in case anybody's looking for...
Lloyd is a 1995 Toyota pickup. So 95 is an interesting year because 95.5, the Tacomas came out. But 1995, it was still a pickup.
Okay.
So there's this kind of crossover year, you know, where two trucks were in it. But this is still the pickup, still the, you know, third gen Toyota pickup. Mm-hmm. And it's, for the most part, it's bone stock for the most part. Yeah. It's a single cab, pretty low. It's on 32s. And then I just added ball joint spacers to it.
Yeah.
It's got the LED headlights.
Yep. Which are awesome.
And that's it. I think that's about it. It was my daily for a while. And then I got Charlotte and then I kept it. And then I bought Clifford and then, you know, and I have a few vehicles and I really don't drive Lloyd that often. And as great as a vehicle as he is, he could just be used and, have an owner that takes care of him a little bit better than I do. Cause I care about everything else. Yeah. Uses it more than I do. So
nice.
Yeah.
So it turns out, Lloyd runs really, really clean, really well. He's got a lot of get up and go, surprisingly, for a 22 RE. When you have the TPS plugged in, we found that out a couple weeks ago. So
true. That's when we were diagnosing Samantha and we unplugged its TPS to see if it was the same kind.
We forgot to plug it.
And we never plugged it back in.
Whoops. So Lloyd's awesome. I'm pretty jealous. If I had the money, I would consider buying him, but I don't have anywhere to store the vehicle either. So
yeah. It's a good little truck and I'm going to miss it, you know, but the thing is like, I just don't need two spare vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like today we took Clifford out.
Yeah.
Right. And we didn't drive Lloyd out, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, and that's the thing. It's like if for some reason Bobcat's not working and Charlotte's not working, you know, and Samantha's not legal like she isn't.
Yeah.
I can drive Clifford.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like I just don't really need it.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I really like it too. Yeah. So there's this emotional connection.
I was going to say, you're getting a little, I can see a tear forming in your eye right now.
Sad. It's a good truck. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's gone down to Pismo. We've done a little wheeling up in the outside.
How many miles are on Lloyd?
230.
Oh, nice. You still got like 300,000 on that.
Oh, yeah.
To go, so,
yeah. And it runs like a top.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I've got there's a few things I want to do to it still. It has a little bit of clear coating problems right in front of the windshield. The clear coat's kind of running a little bit or the clear coat's a little rough. And so I want to learn how to polish that and clean that up. And so I've been reaching out to some friends and friends of friends and saying, you know, seeing if anybody knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if there's anybody in listening to the podcast in the Sacramento area that would love to teach me how to, you know, polish the vehicle and fix the clear coat, I'm totally open. I want to learn.
Cool.
And then, so I want to fix that. And then it has the old 90s trucks had those funky long stickers all the way from like the doors that go all the way back across the bed.
Yeah.
You know, and the sticker's gone, but the adhesive is still there.
Oh, so does it create like little dirt lines?
Sort of. It just has it like it's two-toned in okay. a way. Like you look at it and you're like, there should be stickers there, but there's not. Yeah. And so I want to see if it's possible. Like I want to see if it's possible if I can remove the adhesive and make it clean or appear to be more like one color. If it's going to take a lot of elbow grease, I'm not going to care about it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wash my hands and be like, this is good.
Nice.
So, but really I want to learn how to do some of the clear coating work and then I'm going to pass it on. So
very cool.
Yeah.
What other, so that's Lloyd. What's going on with Lloyd? Did you get any new videos out while I was gone? I think I saw a couple.
Yeah.
Show up.
Let's see. I think the main one is probably the Tundra bump stops.
Okay, nice.
That was a good one. Today we had a blackout emblem kit for the Tacoma come out.
Okay.
That was just more of, you know, just putting another aesthetics video out.
Kind of thing,
aesthetics,
yeah.
Do a little Amazon affiliate links.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of knows about them. They're really easy, but, you know, if somebody wants to search it, it's there now.
Nice.
So, but the Tundra bump stops they were Timbrin bump stops. They were, a really good install because a lot of people will lift their vehicles, but then they don't add the bump stops to them. And this is a brand new Timbrin product too, because they're the active off-road bump stops. So they have different dampening levels on them. So it's just not a like bump, you know, like the bump stop hits the axle and it's just preventing it.
Yeah.
This one has like, you know, soft, medium and hard built into it.
Is it like a rubber bump stop?
It's all rubber, but then like the
different densities or
curves they have. It was just like, you know, a bigger curve to a medium curve to a smaller curve, and probably, you know, the curve adds some rigidity to it. And
that
so,
makes sense.
You know, if you hit a bigger bump, you would have, you know, it would get into the harder section. But if you're just, you know, going on a fire road and you had to hit a, you know, a pothole, then you're, you know, it's only going to get into the soft level. So,
or if you're at the mall with Brennan.
So yeah, exactly.
You're going to have the speed
bumps. But the owner of the Tundra did a Raptor rally race out in the high desert out in Nevada. And he went out with all these Raptors.
Wait, when was that?
It was
like late last week.
Wednesday it was a few
Thursday?
Weeks ago.
Oh, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they might have had another one. I don't know. And so he said, I was the only Toyota out there with all these Raptors. And he said, I was about middle of the pack.
Okay.
And there was a lot of, the majority of the ones below him were all stock Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got an Icon lift and then, you know, he's done a whole bunch of things to his truck. And he's like, the truck runs amazing.
Nice.
He said, you know, I thought I wasted a lot of money with these Icons and just driving around town, they feel fine, but it's like, why did I need to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're going 60 miles an hour across
the desert we got them.
This is why I bought these. Yeah.
So you don't go bouncing around like the Toyota King of the Hammers.
Right.
That won the stock race.
up and down. It was on leaf springs.
I know. I remember we were watching him go by the pits and we were like, that's a stock Toyota. That's like an 83 or 84 Toyota. We're watching it go and then it hit a couple of the whoops and we just watched the bottom, the back end, bottom out.
Both of you were like,
oh.
Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
But yeah, so, but he was super stoked with the bump stops and how everything worked. And I'm like, did you ever feel like you bottomed out? And he's like, no, I don't really even recall like doing that. And he's like, I had my 2-year-old son in the car.
Nice.
And he's like, and the kid was sleeping half the time, you know, and I was like, okay, must be pretty smooth.
That works.
So
that works. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Did you have any other updates for the peeps? Any more goodies to tell everyone?
No, I think, you know, I'm excited for the Patreon account to see where that goes and exciting to, you know, be able to give back a little bit more to the community. And I'm super stoked with all the 5-star reviews we've been getting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you for those guys. Those help a lot. They're really cool.
You know, iTunes.
It's fun to read through them too.
Yeah.
So
iTunes you guys are boosts podcasts by the amount of reviews they get and how many listens are on there. You know, there's a whole lot of statistics and how podcasts can get boosted. But one of the big ways is by reviews. And how they're doing. So
yeah, we actually made it. Just fun fact, because of you guys and how many of you guys are listening to us right away here on the new channel, is we made it to new and noteworthy. on iTunes, which is a huge deal for a brand new podcast to make it on new and noteworthy. So that was really cool to see us get up there. And it just, you know, it goes to keep showing that, you know, we like doing this, and apparently you guys, some people out there like listening enough to get it there. So,
yeah,
it's really cool to see that people actually listen to the crap that you talk about all the time. So it's a weird sensation, but it feels fun.
You know, it just goes to show that, you know, if you and your buddies get to hang out and talk about something, you might as well put a mic in your face and have a podcast. Because this is what we do normally anyway.
And that's that's kind of how we'd started. And that's pretty much how Wheeling Wine and Whiskey has started. And they're having a blast over there. You should go listen to their latest episode. They finally got Darth Vader off of the podcast. So,
we were listening into it in the shop this morning. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we started recording, and we couldn't have the
we could probably have their podcast in the background playing in video, because it's I don't know how that works, but I can't have music that is copyrighted in the background of a video that I'm showing, because then you know, if like Rihanna's playing in the background, then somebody goes like, hey, that's Rihanna's song, and then Rihanna says that's my song, and then I don't really get in trouble. Not that I mean, maybe I do. I haven't tried this, but I think they would just write, like, Rihanna's marketing people would be like, that's ours, and then they would make all the advertising revenue off of that video. I think that's the way it works.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Haven't tried it.
All right. Long story, long story short, go check out Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. They got their audio stuff figured out, and they sound amazing now. They have some really fun topics about campers and wine, some DeVos wine down in south of Hollister there. So check it out. It's cool stuff they're doing over there. So
yeah.
And with that, I think we will head right on over to today's campfire discussion, which you guys are going to love. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to the Snail Trail 4x4. That's 4x4 for all you crazy people out there. Today's campfire discussion topic is going to be a lot of fun. Like we were talking about earlier, we've had a lot of requests for it. So, and this one is kind of right up my alley. Luckily, I know quite a bit about this topic because of all my research going into the R&D and testing components and flow rates and everything of the Morflate. So, today's topic is on compressors. And I like to kind of broaden it out and say air sources. So what are your options for air sources when you're on the trail, when you're off-roading, you know, like we know that the cheapest, most effective way to add traction to your vehicle when you're off-roading is to let air out of your tires.
Right.
So you need to be able to have a way to put air back in your tires when you're at the end of your trip and air back up. So there's lots of different options out there. There's barely two compressors that are the same, but there's a lot of ratings that are listed on compressors, like CFM flow rates, the PSI they can operate at, the duty cycles, stuff like that, the inner diameter of hoses and kind of what your flow rates are actually limited to in actuality based compared to what the compressor can actually do. So we'll talk into and dive into a bunch of that there. Did you have any extras or stuff you want to throw on there?
No, I think one of the things we might, or we should say, is we're not going to really even be talking about the ones, the cheap little tiny ones that you get at Kmart or Walmart. Is Kmart even a thing anymore?
I don't think it is.
Walmart or, you know, any of these, the retail ones, the ones that probably have a compressor, a radio, a flashlight.
These all-in-one built, all-purpose things. I know the slime compressors are popular for people to get, or like the little, I guess the Harbor Freight ones aren't too bad as long as you start at like the $50 range.
Yeah, we're going to talk about more like strictly dedicated air compressors that, you know, is a little bit more higher end that, you know, are going to be pumping some air.
Nice. That's a good way to describe an air compressor, Jimmy.
Oh, I was going to say pumping some juice, but I was like, that doesn't work.
That doesn't, yeah. I mean, if you can get an air compressor to pump some juice, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Those are called juicers.
Yeah. I do know a buddy, a good buddy of mine. I haven't actually met him in person yet, but I talk to him all the time on Facebook and Instagram stuff.
Oh, yeah?
But Clint up in, he's up in Chico, I believe, Redding, kind of in between, I forget which one. But he has converted a blender to work off of an air compressor.
So sounds dangerous.
It is very dangerous, but it works awesome.
I bet.
He just hooks it up into an air tank when he's out on the trail or when he's at home for parties and just goes poof, and blasts it, and it makes great margaritas.
Wow.
So, yeah. I've been meaning to set something up. Maybe that's what I can use the spare space in my tool drawer for.
There you go.
Carry a blender with me. So,
yeah.
Clint, you're going to have to send
me
a blender.
If you want margaritas on the trail, go find my off-road radio.
Yep. I'll have ice in the freezer and a tequila and some margarita mix, and it'll be fantastic.
Straight, reach out. K6TLR. Yep. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah. And whatever repeaters you're on, start looking for K6TLR. Some of the ratings that come on compressors, because it can be a little confusing if you don't know exactly what they mean. So the first one that is obviously, you know, it's the first thing we look at when we look at air compressors for off-roading is your CFM. That stands for cubic feet per minute. And that's the flow rate at which your compressor will run and push air through its hose, through the output of the compressor. So CFM is usually measured at 0 PSI.
Okay.
And then
the tire?
Of the compressor pushing. So
nothing's connected to it.
Of the whole system.
Okay.
So you can have something connected to it, and if it's at the whole system that the compressor is connected to is at 0 PSI,
yeah,
the compressor will push however many CFM, the cubic feet per minute that it's rated for.
Sure.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that your PSI is your pressure.
Right.
So your CFM is your volume, PSI is your pressure. And as you increase in PSI in an air system, compressors will decrease their volume.
Sure.
Just because there's a little more backlog of air pressure,
right.
And it just...
It's hard. It's like blowing a balloon, right?
Yep.
When it's small, you can fill it pretty easily, but when it gets bigger, it's harder to put the air inside.
Exactly. So one compressor I've noticed is really, I don't want to say bad at this, but is the Smittybilt. The Smittybilt 5.5 cubic feet per minute, the 5.5 CFM compressor. It actually does push 5.5 CFM from like 0 to about 20-25 PSI. Once it hits about 20-25, the flow rate gets cut in half.
Wow.
So it goes down to 2 to 2.5 CFM after that.
Right.
I haven't measured it, you know, once you get it to 40 or 50 PSI and see if it goes lower from there. I would imagine it would.
How would you measure it?
You have
a flow meter or you see how fast it fills the tire. And
essentially.
And you can gauge the CFM.
Yep. Make a little chart graph of fill up times, air time. So
from 40 to 50 PSI, how long did it take?
There you go. So there's a lot of compressors out there that may say they do a high volume, but really until you get up into the past $200-$300 range in compressors, most high volume, quote unquote, compressors will go to low volume once they reach 20 to 30 PSI. So getting from 0 to 20, 30. No problem. They'll keep up their whole volume. But once you get to that, to whatever that threshold is, they'll slow way down. So Smittybilt is a big one that does that. I haven't really noticed it too much out of the Twin ARB. The Twin ARB I found holds the flow rate pretty well.
Right.
It does slow down a little bit, I think, around 25 to 27 PSI. I think I've noticed it slowing down a little, but not much. So that one, you know, it's an expensive compressor, $500, $550. But it will keep doing the full volume at higher levels of PSI.
Now, how about
the single ARB? That one is more of a low volume. It's about 2.5 CFM.
Yeah.
And that one, will put out pretty high pressure. So because it's designed to bare minimum run lockers off of, right? So because it has to be up at 90 PSI and have a normal working cycle of 90 PSI, it usually does pretty well.
Okay.
And that's why I think the Twin ARB does really well, because it's just two singles wired together in one platform.
Okay.
So the there's the single ARB is about 2.5 CFM. And it holds that pretty well through pressure. The twin ARB is 6.2, 6.1 CFM, okay. something like that. The Smittybilt has two models, one that's 5.5 CFM and one that's about 2.5 CFM. That matches the single ARB pretty well, except that it doesn't run high pressure as well as the ARB does.
Got it.
But, you know, if you're not trying to go more than 30-35 PSI in your tires, then it's a great option.
That's good for me, but you know, a lot of Jeeps will get up there.
A lot of Jeeps will get up to 40-45, yeah, for sure. So,
I run about 30. That's all I, you know, if I fill up, that's about what I get.
I run mine right around 32 until I get leaks 32? In the tire. 30 as well. Until I get leaks in my tires and they start going down on me and I don't notice. So the other one, so we had a CFM, PSI, and that's pounds per square inch. I don't know if I said that. And the third one was the duty cycle.
Right.
So duty cycle is a really interesting one because it'll usually say, you know, it's a 50% duty cycle or 70% duty cycle. And what that means is if, say, if it's a 50% duty cycle, then you can run it for 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off kind of thing. If it says it's a 70% duty cycle, then you can run it for 10 minutes on, 3 minutes off. 10 minutes on, 3 minutes off kind of thing.
Sure.
And so what you just need to do when you're watching compressors, a lot of them nowadays will have a heat cutoff switch, a thermal cutoff switch. That's what I'm looking for. And when the compressor gets too hot, it'll shut itself off. And so you just kind of keep running the compressor, or you'll notice it just stops putting out air. And that's because it's reaching its duty cycle, the time that it can stay on.
Right.
And so it's different for different compressors. Usually, you know, like that. I know that there's a couple of Vieres out there that are like 1.5 to 2 CFM, and they'll hit their duty cycle within about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So if you're running 35 inch tires at 1 to 2 CFM, you're not going to fill up your tires before you hit the duty cycle.
Right.
So,
and then you got to wait extra.
And then you
got
to wait time to let the compressor cool off and have that downtime.
Sure.
Off. If you don't give your compressor that downtime, you're going to burn up seals and your compressor is going to die on you prematurely.
Right.
So that's a big issue I know with the Harbor Freight compressors you can get. Harbor Freight has some that, you know, brand new, work pretty well. They're $40-$50, something like that. And with the 20% off coupon, makes it a good buy. But their duty cycles are terrible.
Oh.
So they don't last and you end up, you know, yeah, having to air up one tire and then let the duty cycle calm down and air up the next
rate,
tire.
At that rate, you could buy four compressors, one per tire.
That's true. Just run them all. Yeah. I didn't think about that. So, yeah. Spend $200, buy four of those Harbor Freight compressors and get the warranties on them and you're good to go. That's
by
funny.
By the time you're set up the fourth one, your first tire might be done.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not.
Yeah. I actually used to run ARB's original compressor, the original one that they had, and I ran it in my rig for a long time, and it took care of my lockers. I didn't use it to air up my tires very much, but one day I was just like, I'm gonna see what it does, and it aired up 1.25 tires before it hit the duty cycle, and it just stopped pumping air. And I was so I had to let it cool off for like 30 minutes before it would start pumping air again. I was like, okay, well, I know I can do it. It'll take me 2 hours to air up if anything happens to my onboard air system, but
and so is the only thing that you can necessarily do for a duty cycle is just let it relax. I mean, I know what duty cycles are because of welders and things of that nature. And yeah, I mean, you on the welding side, you actually leave it on. Yeah. You know, you let it run and cool itself down.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you don't do that with the with the air compressor, because those, a lot of those, it's just, it's on and it's pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you need to turn it off to let it cool down.
Yeah, they don't have cooling fans on them, so you can't like run a cooling fan to keep it cool. I have noticed in when you're, if you're snow wheeling, then while your compressor is running and operating, you can take handfuls of snow and put them on top of the heat sink.
Right.
And that'll help keep it cooler a lot longer.
Right.
And help you from hitting that duty cycle. But once you kind of hit that duty cycle, you just got to let the compressor cool down.
Right.
So
is there a ViAir that is compatible to the 5 CFM Smitty belt?
Not really that I've run across yet. I do know they have an onboard system that's 100% duty cycle with two compressors. And those two compressors, I think each one, I think they use the ViAir, the 400P for both of those compressors. And a 400P puts out, I want to say 2.4, 2.3 CFM. So with two of those and the air tank that comes with it, I want to say it's either 5 or 10 gallons, something like that. Then you can run 100% duty cycle with about 5 CFM on it, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
So, you got to install and run all the plumbing and everything and run the tank and everything. But if you understand how air systems work, which are really quite easy, they're not as secretive or complicated as people might make them out to be. That's a great little system there, all set up, ready to go. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about tanks for a moment.
Okay.
Because can you go, like, could I use my Smitty belt and plumb it into the rig and hook it up to a tank?
Absolutely. The Smitty belt, though, you need to have a couple things built. You have that are not built into it that you have to add into the system.
Yeah.
Like, so one is a pressure cutoff switch.
Okay.
And the other one is a back pressure valve. So it's a one-way valve that lets air go through into your tank, but will keep air from coming back out of the tank into the compressor.
So that can be on the tank, though, right?
You can put that on the tank. I would think of running it as close to the compressor as possible. That way you get the extra buildup of PSI in the rest of your hose system as well.
Sure.
So,
okay.
But yeah, you need those two things, and you need to be able to hook up the Smitty belt leads for the battery cables. You just cut the leads off and wire it into the pressure cutoff switch, and then hook it into your battery or run it on a relay and a switch in the cab kind of thing.
And so what is one of the primary benefits of having a tank?
Good question, because really, in order to air up your tires, you don't need a tank at all.
No,
not at all. And some compressors, like the Smitty belt 5.5 CFM, the twin ARB, they can reseat beads just fine, as long as you get the bead somewhat close to the wheel, right?
Right.
When you're seating it. So really...
Or add fire,
exactly. So carry a brake cleaner and carb cleaner or those little fire explosives, firecrackers with you too. I've seen people do it with firecrackers. It's pretty
really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So the firecracker method is fun. Which we still need to do a video on different ways to seat your beads. So
yes. That would be fun.
That'll be a fun one when we get to it. Because as we know, Jimmy loves lighting stuff on fire. So so the reason you would want a tank, there's a couple different reasons: to make seating beads easier, and running air tools.
Okay.
It just gives you kind of a blast of air to make airing up quicker when you get there. But the thing to remember is that, one thing to remember that not a lot of people are aware of or don't think about is that anytime you are airing up your tires, airing down your tires, whatever you're doing, you're going to have a bottleneck in your air system in the form of your Schrader valves on your tires, your valve stems.
Right. Absolutely.
So the valve core itself that you can unscrew and pull out of the valve stem, with those valve cores in the valve stem, you can only get like a max flow rate through your valve stem of about 2 to 2.5 CFM at 0 PSI.
Okay.
So if your compressor puts out more CFM than 2 to 2.5, then your compressor is going to waste.
Interesting.
Just airing up one single tire at a time.
Right.
So... So say you take a twin ARB that does 6 CFM or York compressor that does 12 CFM and you hook it up to one tire at a time, you know, of that 12 CFM, only 2.5 can go into your tire at a time. So you end up with this backlog of pressure on your compressor.
Right.
So you have a backlog of pressure between the compressor and your valve stem.
Yeah, in the line.
In the line. In the hose line. And with that backlog of pressure pushing back on your compressor, it makes your compressor run hotter and work harder. And when it does that, you hit your duty cycle quicker, you burn out seals quicker, and your compressor dies on you quicker. The lifetime, the lifespan of your compressor is a lot shorter.
So what would be... So that brings up an interesting question. Why would you buy something that is higher than 2.5 CFM if that is the only... or if that's the max speed that you can do with normal valve stems?
Because at because of the PSI rule, right? So if you have a higher PSI, then you can get a larger flow rate, not from the compressor side, just how air works. So now, not talking about compressor ratings that we were talking about earlier, the higher your PSI is, so say you have a tank... like, say, a power tank pressurized at 250 PSI, it will be able to push air through that same valve stem at about 8 to 10 CFM. And if you ever want to look up flow rates of diameters, look up orifice. It's called an orifice flow rate. Just Google it. Orifice flow rate chart, and you can see... the flow rates of, you know, 1/8 inch inner diameter, 1/4 inch inner diameter, 3/8 inch inner diameter, hoses, you know, whatever your fittings are for everything. So that's why with a power tank, they have monster valves, right?
Right.
So monster valves go from take your that little Schrader valve and double it, almost quadruple the size of it, I think. I don't know how big they get them.
They're massive.
They're massive though. And it just allows that 250 PSI from the power tank to not just push 8 to 10 CFM. Now it can push like 40 CFM into your tires. So, the bigger you can make each fitting in your air system, the more flow rate you can have as long as you have a compressed air.
Sure.
So if you have a twin ARB compressor or a Smitty built 5.5 CFM, you really need to be running three tires at a time minimum in order to not get a backlog of pressure.
Then how would you do that?
Good question. So that is one of the things that the Morflate helps solve that a lot of people don't realize. So it definitely having a Morflate hooks up to all four of your tires. It helps your compressors run way more efficient. Because one of the most common questions I get asked is, I've got a little Vi-Air 100 that puts out 1.2, 1.5 CFM. Is it going to be able to fill up my tires? Is it going to be robust enough to fill up four tires at a time? Absolutely, it can. The big thing is the compressor needs to be rated for the PSI that you want to put your tires to. Right. So most compressors have a minimum PSI rating of 100. Most of them are like 125 to 150. So you're going to be fine there. The main thing is that you need to make sure you have a duty cycle long enough to not hit the duty cycle by the time you have enough flow rate to fill up your tires.
Right.
So that's kind of the trick to it. But yeah, a 1.5 CFM compressor, it just runs even easier by using a Morflate into the system. So.
And is that because there's going to, with that low of a compressor, is that because there's not such a back pressure onto that compressor?
Exactly.
Because now you're dividing it, kind of that back pressure by 4? Okay.
So you get very, very little back pressure on those compressors that way. So, so that's the CFM and PSI ratings of everything. Right. So
can we go back to tanks for a moment? So how about filling the tanks with a compressor? Is there any difference from that compared to filling a tire?
Not really. Your tanks are going to run at a higher PSI than your tires. Most people will fill up, most Jeeps will fill up to 40, 45 PSI. A lot of Toyotas with, you know, running Swampers or something are going to fill to 25 to 30 PSI.
Right.
Most air tanks, you will fill to at least 100 PSI.
Okay.
So the twin ARB and the ARB compressors come with pressure cutoff switches set for 150 PSI.
Okay.
And so if you hook and plumb that up to a tank and everything, then your tank goal is going to run at 150 PSI. So running 150 PSI is great for reseating beads, running right. air tools. Mm-hmm. It just allows you to have more volume of air.
Right.
At 150 PSI in a 2 gallon tank is going to be more air than a 1 gallon tank at 90 PSI or a 2 gallon tank at 90 PSI. So you just get more volume of air that way. The thing you have to be careful about though is if you have your tank plumbed into your lockers and you're running air lockers.
Right.
Because the a lot of air lockers, if you're running 150 PSI to your air lockers, just over time, you're going to blow the seals.
Yeah.
Air lockers like to run, they're most happy running at about 75 to 90 PSI.
Okay.
So they'll engage down as low as 75 most of the time. But you usually don't want to run your air lockers more than 90 PSI if you want to make sure that you still have lockers throughout the rest of the whole trail that you're on for that day. So,
yeah.
So the best way to fix that problem is to add an inline regulator. So just put a regulator in there, and what you do is run the compressor to your tank and then have a T off of your tank and have one line come out to air up your tires and have a leather line come out to your manifold where you run your locker solenoids. And then right before the manifold for locker solenoids, put a regulator. Mm-hmm. That way you can regulate it down to 90 PSI to run your lockers on, but you still have the full 150 PSI for running air tools right. and reseating beads and airing up tires and everything. So,
right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. I love compressors, man.
They are
I could go
sort
for days.
Your,
this is almost like ham radio.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They're up. They are one of your hobbies for the most part.
Yeah.
What do you know about York compressors?
I don't know a lot about them. My uncle runs one in his LJ, and they're an awesome compressor. They get mounted into your engine and the serpentine belt.
Mm-hmm.
It gets its own pulley there and runs, and it's essentially a compressor off of a refrigerator. So a refrigerator, okay. It's a refrigerator compressor repurposed and put on a pulley to put in an engine so that the engine runs the compressor mm-hmm. rather than a motor in a refrigerator. But York compressors, there's a couple of things you have to watch out for. They're awesome. They put out a really high flow rate. So 12 CFM upwards is usually their average. I don't know how well they hold up to PSI, high volume PSI.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I don't know. I would imagine they do pretty well because people run them quite yeah. a bit and hook them up into air tank setups. But I just don't know that info off the top of my head. But the big thing you got to watch out for with York compressors is they use, because they're a refrigerator compressor mm-hmm. that usually runs refrigerant through it.
Yeah.
You're just running air. It has oil. And that ends up coming out of the airline. And so you have to have an inline filter to filter out the oil and let that drop into the inline filter that you can dump out every once in a while.
Got it.
Or have a line that goes from the filter back into the compressor for the oil. And that way you don't get oil in your air tank and inside your tires and in your air tools and everything.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of your compressors, that's their biggest issue.
I've got one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to retrofit it to work, to make it work.
Just put it in your AC spot on Bobcat.
Yeah. So, is it as simple as that? I mean, is it...
For the most part, you just have to make sure the pulleys are all lined up
right.
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I also heard is that you can use an old Mercedes... didn't you use a Mercedes alternator in yours?
A Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Yep.
Okay. So you can use an old... I've heard you can use an old Mercedes... AC compressor and you can retrofit that and they bolt right up to the AC compressors in the 22
RAs. No way.
Yeah.
That's
and then
awesome.
You can, and then that's and for the most part, that's a high CFM movement also.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people will turn their AC compressors into their air compressor.
Yeah.
So they just don't run AC in their vehicles, but they use the AC compressor to run air up all their tires and everything and it works great.
I've wanted to check that out too because I thought that'd be a fun video to do and I think it'd be just really neat to kind of figure it out and do it. So
yeah, that one's a lot of fun. I do know back in the old days, the old CJ days, so our buddy Jason may know this trick. He may have done it himself. He's a little wily like this. But he, they used to take the exhaust manifold or take the exhaust coming out of their exhaust pipe.
Yeah.
And use that to fill up their tires. So they would fill up the tires with the exhaust pressure. Fumes. Yeah, they would let the exhaust fumes and pressure just get enough air in there to get off the trail or get down the road or something.
Sounds like something Jason would do.
Oh, he'd totally do that, 100%. So I've heard of that being done before, and I never quite found it clear if they put it off the exhaust pipe and like off the muffler, or if they took the exhaust manifold off and ran some kind of contraption straight to the manifold. But I guess if your engine puts out enough pressure, I mean, those cylinders pop a lot of air through. So, I don't know. That one would be fun to look into more and see exactly how people
use
it. Is
exhaust lighter than air, O2?
I don't think so, because there's a lot of smog particles in particulate in it. So.
That's probably true, because like when you drive into LA and you see the smog, it's on a lower level than air. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I don't go to LA ever.
Yeah.
So, it's a good question. Yorks they're cool. If you can set up a York in your rig, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Because they work really, really well as long as you manage the oil.
We'll have to figure that out, because that'd be fun. And it's just in a box sitting on the floor.
Nice.
So.
Well, that's right. That's one of the items you stole from Jeff, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, when Jeff moved to... Minnesota. Jimmy went over and stole a bunch of stuff out of the shed.
Not literally stole.
Okay, Jeff gave it to him.
I purchased it.
Oh, did you?
Well, I think it came with the bender.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Or he gave it to me, one or the other.
One or the other.
Yeah.
So anyways, you have a York. We can put it in Samantha or something, or Bobcat, or find a good fun place for it.
Yeah. No, definitely. One of those is going to get it for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else on compressors?
Not too much. I think that pretty much covers it. It definitely covers the main things you want to look for.
Right. So let's run down this real. Let's just run it down real quick. CFM are the amount of air that it can move.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
PSI is the amount of pressure that it can. When it starts getting hard, how does it act?
The limit of the compressor to create air is what it is.
So if it starts getting difficult for the compressor to push air, how much steroids has it taken?
Yeah. I don't know if that's quite out of... Yeah, sure.
I mean, how buff is it? Right?
Yes.
How much can it push?
Yes. Yeah.
That's
the limits. And as you get from zero to whatever PSI the compressor is rated at, the flow rate will change, and the flow rate usually goes down on compressors.
And then the last one is duty cycle, and that's really how long can it run and how long does it need to rest?
Exactly.
Yep. Right. And so those are the three major things that you're looking for when you're taking into account of what air compressor that you're going to want to buy.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I have seen some new compressors out on the market, out on the trail. They're a red compressor. I meant to try and look it up before we recorded this episode. It looks exactly like the Smittybell compressors, but it's red.
Okay.
So I don't know if those have the same stats as the Smittybell does, but I've heard people are very happy with those. But I've been really happy with the Smittybell one as well. So I think I handed mine off to you.
Yeah, I have it.
and it's now going on, 4.5 years, and
it's great.
It still runs awesome. Yeah. So,
I wonder if that's an ARB. I mean, I'm trying to think of what other companies read.
Oh, no, it's not an ARB compressor. It's some off-brand company. It's something like Overland Bound put in their shop or something. And it's, I think you can buy them off of Alibaba and China and mass produced and have them brought over kind of thing.
That's why.
Yeah. So they're roughly comparable in price to the Smittybells. And they're made and brought over from China, just like the Smittybells are. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so we have those Vyaire. is always a staple in the air market. My only issue with Vyaire is they don't have a high flow rate compressor that I've found. You can wire two compressors together to get a high flow rate from them, and they have a kit for it, which makes it all nice and easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have anything kind of in one platform. So you have the Vyaires, awesome company, great compressors. You've got the Smitty Builds, which are just my history with them has been awesome. I know people have issues with the seals blowing out in those, and I really do think it's because they're getting the 5.5 CFM compressors and running them on one tire at a time.
Yeah.
So the compressor just gets hot and blows seals. So
so you should use a Morphlite.
So get a Morphlite if you have a Smitty Build.
This could technically be a sponsored video.
I know, right? We should just turn this into a Morphlite sponsored. So the Smitty Builds are good. Just make sure they don't overheat on you too much. ARB, another staple in compressors. The Twin ARB is one of the best compressors around. And then if you don't want to run a compressor and you just really like the power of compressed air, power tanks are really just where it's at.
Yeah.
So, and the guys that we know, we have a good history with Power Tank, and they're really cool guys. Great customer service. So does ARB. So it really just comes down to what you and your preference wants to run. But
yeah.
What's really cool, I didn't know before I met the Power Tank guys, was that you can run your lockers off of Power Tanks.
I was curious about that.
Yeah. They have essentially a little splitter that you can put in line with your Power Tank that'll let air run to your lockers.
Yeah.
And then you can have the other side of the splitter to air up your tires.
Huh.
So it's just like an air tank system in your car, but it's at 3000 PSI or regular right. 250.
And you're like, I need to turn on my lockers.
Yep. Yeah. It just runs the air into a manifold and you use your same locker solenoids that you would normally use.
Huh.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. You can run air lockers off Power Tanks, air tools very easily off Power Tanks, air up your tires really quick. It's really fun to air up a vehicle with a Morphlite in a Power Tank.
Yeah.
Cause you air up the whole vehicle in like under 4 minutes and you can just literally watch the whole vehicle rise up like on airbags. It's fun.
We need to do a video of that.
Yeah.
A little time lapse, like actual time is all.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
With their monster valves.
Oh, that would be even cool. I want to talk to them, Tyler. If you're listening, send me some monster valves. to get some monster valves, so I can do some more testing and see if I can come up with a system to work with their monster valves.
That'd be rad.
Because I would imagine their valves are bigger as well. The Schrader valve you have to connect onto, so I have to find different parts for it. But yeah, run a Morphlite with monster valves. You can air up your whole car in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
On the Power Tank. So,
and the only down to the Power Tank is that you have to get it filled.
And that's really the only downside to it. So yeah. I have a Power Tank and I like it. I use it for a lot of testing the systems at high PSI stuff. I use it on the trail. And I don't know what it's at. And I just kind of run it. And sometimes I'll run my compressor. Sometimes I'll run my Power Tank. And I just figure if your Power Tank ever runs out, then you have your little backup compressor with you. Or
right.
Grab some air from your buddies. So. Yeah.
But if you're running your lockers off of it.
If you're running your lockers off, that could be an issue.
And then you run out of air.
Yeah. That's true. Power Tank does have a little mini Power Tank bottle.
Yeah.
That you can dedicate to locker usage.
Oh, that would be interesting.
So you'd have to, you can do that.
Doesn't Smitty Built came out with a Power Tank?
I think they have like a 10 or 15 pound system. Do they have a mini one too?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
because
that.
When I was at King of the Hammers this year, I ran into Steve and Tyler from Power Tank, and they were walking around the village trying to see if anybody had that so they could see what it looked like and do a little undercover in comparison. Yeah,
sneaky guys.
Hey, that's what every business does if somebody's coming out with competition.
Very true. So yeah, cool. I think that's about wraps it up. If you guys have any other questions about compressors, compressed air, power tanks, the Smitty Built tanks, anything going on, air systems, onboard air systems, definitely
more flights.
Shoot emails over to podcast@snailtrail4x4.com, and either myself or Jimmy or the secretary will get on answering those for you guys. So if you have any ham radio questions, shoot them on over to Tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. And if you have anything install related, go to Jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com because I am worn out from installs for now. And I think with that, you can find us, you know, all over the internet. Just type in Google snailtrail4x4. You can watch the live feed will be out on just video to watch if you want to watch this. We've got the podcast, all sorts of stuff. Go by and check out the Patreon page because, like I said, we're going to be doing giveaways once a month with one of the tiers, and there's going to be a lot of other benefits for you guys on there as well. So check them out. Let us know if you guys have any questions. Let us know if you have any comments. Let us know if you just like want to hear more Land Cruiser stuff, as Mark would put it. And yeah, I think that does it.
You're
I've been
tired.
Talking too much, dude. I am rambling because I'm so tired.
It's been a long day.
It has. Jimmy, do you have any last words for all of our peeps out there?
Did you know you have a nail in your tire?
I don't want to talk about it. With that, my friends, keep crawling.